Okay, we're going to carry on in our study of Luke, and today it's Alan's turn. Last week we had a wonderful teaching from Steve, and we've really been blessed in studying this scripture. So we look forward to hearing Alan's ministry today. I'll pray for you. Lord Jesus, we thank you for Alan. We thank you for the way he is prepared for this ministry today. We thank you for the talent that you've given him to teach. And we look forward to hearing what he has to say today. So prepare our hearts, Lord. And we pray, speak through Alan today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. How much do you owe? Now, when I was working as an accountant, quite often people would come to me when they were in financial difficulties or their business was in financial difficulties, and the first question I would ask would, well, how much do you owe? And they would go through the list. They'd say, well, there's my overdraft, there's my bank loan, there's my two credit cards, which are up to the max. And I'd say, is that everything? And they'd say, yeah, I think that's everything. And I'd say, what about your store card? Do you? Oh, yes, I have a Mr. Price store card as well. Yes, I've forgotten. And did you get a loan to buy your car? Oh, yes, I had a loan as well. Forgot about that as well. And what about the bond on your house? Oh, yes, of course, I owe all of that as well. Most people didn't have much of a clue about what they actually owed. They knew they were in difficulties, but they didn't know how much they owed. And the first thing you had to do was find out how big the problem was. How much do you owe? And in the section of Luke that we're looking at today, that's the question that comes up. How much do you owe? So let's read. We're looking at this latter part of Luke chapter 7. So if I can see this without my glasses, notice I got my cataracts done and now I can actually see things without glasses. I feel like one of those people Jesus healed. Anyway, one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him. For she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, say it, teacher. A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he cancelled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he cancelled the larger debt. And Jesus said to him, you've judged rightly. Then, turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she's not ceased to kiss my feet. You didn't anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, who is this who can even forgive sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. How much do we owe? Let's pray. Father, we come to you because we need to hear what you have to say. We thank you for your word, and so far we know that what we have read is from you, but we pray that what we hear now would be from you. Block out from our memory the things that are not from you, and burn into our consciousness the things that are from you. So, it's a very dramatic scene. Here is Jesus at the house of the Pharisee. Now, last week, for those who were here, you learnt a bit about Pharisees, courtesy of Stephen. Pharisees were good, nice people. We give them a bad press, but in their day, they were people that everybody looked up to. They were pillars of society. They were decent, they were honest, they knew their Bible, the religion. They were very, very careful about their religion. And they were very careful what they did. They were very moral, very ethical people. If you had a son, you wanted him to grow up as a Pharisee. Okay. A bit like being a Springbok, really. And that was who invited Jesus. Now, already in Luke's gospel, we've got a bit of a track record for Pharisees. The Pharisees were very much set against Jesus. They didn't like him at all. They knew all about Jesus, and they knew that he was nobody very special. He was a bit of a fraud, Jesus. So anyway, for reasons we don't quite know, this Pharisee, who's called Simon, invites Jesus around for supper, for a meal. That was a big deal in those days, inviting somebody to your house. So he invites them round to the house, and it's probably more like having a braai outside. It's not sitting around the dining room table with six chairs and six places. It's more like you're sitting out in the garden, and it's open to the public, in a sense. This woman hears that Jesus is there for the meal. So she heads off because she's got something that's very much on her heart that she wants to do and wants to say for Jesus. So she comes in to this dinner party, and there is a deep intake of breath because everybody there knew about this woman. Now, in the passage, she's called a sinner. That might refer to her being a prostitute. It's quite likely that's the case, but she was certainly not the sort of person that any decent, self-respecting person would have in their house and have anything to do with. She was a complete outcast from that society. She comes in, and we read what she does. She's weeping. She wets Jesus' feet with her tears. She wipes them with her hair. She kisses his feet. This woman is distraught, but she is deeply, deeply grateful. And what does Simon the Pharisee think? Did anybody notice? No, nobody noticed it. What did Simon the Pharisee think? He said, ha ha, that's it. We've got proof now. You see, if Jesus was any sort of prophet, he would know what sort of woman this was. He would know that. And clearly, if he knew what sort of woman she was, he wouldn't let her anywhere close to him. So Simon is thinking to himself, this is it. This is the clincher. We know Jesus is a fraud. He's nobody special. He's nobody in particular. And just as he's thinking that, do you notice in the passage? As he is thinking that, what happens? Jesus answers him. Whoa! Have you ever had a moment like that where somebody seems to know your thoughts? You haven't said anything, but they know what you're thinking. Well, here's Jesus. Simon says, this guy doesn't know who that woman is. And now Jesus says, look, hold on, I know what you're thinking. I am a prophet. I know what you're thinking. And Jesus answers him and tells this story about the two people who owed money. One owed a lot. 500 denarii is, if you think of it, it's about 2 years' wages. So whatever your wage or your hope for wages, that's about 2 years' wages. 50 denarii is about a couple of months' wages. And he says to Simon, okay, who cares most? The answer is the guy who is forgiven most. Moral of the story is the more you are forgiven, the more you will love. Now, Jesus turns on Simon. Well, actually, he turns to the woman and addresses Simon. Strange dynamic. You know, I'm talking to you, so I look over here. It's a bit odd. But he addresses Simon in no uncertain terms. And three times he says, you didn't, but she did. You didn't, but she did. You didn't, but she did. Three times. What did Simon not do? Simon didn't do what would have been common courtesy. Dusty roads, dear knows what, on the dust. You come into somebody's house for a meal, they wash your feet. Common courtesy. You would do it just for anybody who comes to your house. Now, Simon calls Jesus teacher, rabbi, a respected person. Well, if you did it for any ordinary person, you'd certainly do it for somebody you consider to be a teacher. No, Simon has already declared his hand before Jesus even gets settled down to the meal. Simon has declared what he thinks. This guy is nobody special. I'm not even going to extend to him the common courtesies that you would extend to a visitor. It's as clear as day what Simon thinks. Before Jesus even gets into the house, Simon has him, and he's got him there to just prove that Simon is right. Jesus is indeed a fraud. Jesus focuses then on these two people. First of all is the sinner, not named. The sinner, the prostitute, the despised person. And what does he have to say about her? He praises her, not because of her lifestyle, not because of what she does and her immoral earnings. She praises her because of what she thinks of him. Somewhere, somehow, we don't know, she has come to know something about Jesus. She probably didn't know all the Old Testament prophecies about Jesus. Simon would have known those. Last week, I think, when Stephen was preaching, he talked about the Roman centurion. He came to know about Jesus. He probably didn't know the Old Testament things either. But somehow he got it that Jesus was a man of authority and somebody special. This woman, somehow, somewhere, sometime, has come to know that Jesus is a person of authority. Simon didn't know that. He deliberately didn't know that. He saw what was going on. He heard Jesus speak. He saw his wisdom, his authority. He saw the miracles, but he refused to accept that Jesus was a prophet. So the woman does this, bows down, humbles herself before him. She's distraught. She's crying. She is so upset when she thinks of her own worthlessness and what Jesus is doing for her. She sacrificed something precious, the perfume, little alabaster thing of perfume was extremely expensive. She sacrificed, I don't know, was that her pension fund that she had? I don't know what it was. Maybe it was to send her children to school or something. But she sacrificed what she had for him, which shows what she thought of him. And she bowed down and she humbled herself and worshipped him. That was her response. You see, she knew how much she owed. She knew that she owed an awful lot. She had a life that somehow was not up to the moral standards of the day. And she knew it. Now I want to turn to the Pharisee and maybe spend a little bit longer with the Pharisee, because I have a horrible feeling. I'm actually a Pharisee. I feel a bit better saying that because last week Stephen said Jesus was a Pharisee, so I feel not so bad. A lot of us are Pharisees. Okay. I'm not going to ask for hands up, but how many people here have murdered somebody? Probably not very many. Okay, I'll hedge my bets there. We've got the big things. There's murder. I don't murder people. I don't steal. I don't lie all that often. The big things I'm pretty good on. My sins are sort of peripheral. Okay, I park on a double yellow line, that sort of thing. I do 35 in a 30-kilometer speed limit. They're minor things. And I suspect that most of us here are in that sort of category. We are Simons. We are Pharisees. And the danger is that we sort of excuse ourselves. Nobody's here is claiming to be perfect. I'm not claiming to be perfect, but I'm a good solid 8.5 out of 10. Yeah. So what mark do you give yourself? Don't say, just put it in your own way. What mark do you think you're getting? I say, I think I'm probably an 8.5 out of 10 sort of guy. I could improve. I need a bit of help around the edges, but basically I'm not bad. So in this story, Jesus is saying, no, not is saying, Jesus says, the amount you love depends on the amount you owe. The more you owe, the bigger your debt, the more you will love Jesus, who, we've just been remembering, who took the punishment, paid the price for that debt. And the bigger the debt, the more you will love Jesus. It was obvious in the case of the prostitute. She knew she fell way, way short of the standard. But there's poor Simon. Simon thinks he's a good 9.5 out of 10 on a good day. So what's he got to do? How can he love Jesus? Now, I think Simon's making a big mistake. And I think we make the same mistake very, very readily. We think we're not bad. Yep, I think I'm not bad. Actually, I am a rebel. I am guilty of high treason. Here I am. I'm not armed. I'm not a member of a gang. I am guilty of high treason. Why? Because I don't do the thing that the king tells me to do. I know what it is, and I choose not to do it. I think I know better. That's treason. In the olden days, if the king told you to do something and you didn't do it, that was treason. In our day, if the government tells you to do something and you don't do it, well, let's not go into that one too much, but that is treason. That's disloyalty. That's treason. And I am guilty of treason. And Simon was guilty of treason. It's not a minor offense. It's not something you can overlook quickly. He was guilty of treason. Why? Because he rejected, in a determined way, he rejected God's Son. He didn't give even a fair hearing. Now, at this stage, a lot of people didn't know who Jesus was. Some did, like the Roman, like this woman. Some did. A lot of people didn't know. But the Pharisees are in a different category. They determinedly decided that he wasn't who he said he was. They ignored his miracles. They said, oh, well, he's doing that by some evil force. They ignored the altar. They knew a lot of stuff. You see, Simon knew the Messiah was going to come from Bethlehem. And Simon knew that Jesus came from Galilee, from Nazareth. So clearly he wasn't the Messiah. See, Simon knew it. There's things actually that I think I know. maybe I'm not right. Simon knew that Jesus was not the Messiah, and he rejected him. That is high treason indeed. So I think for us, let's look at our lives individually sitting here. I want you to think of the three worst sins that you commit on a regular or semi-regular basis. I'm going to give you about 30 seconds. That's all you need to think of three of them. Think, what do you do that falls short of what God calls us to do? Father, we pray that as we think, you would help us to see ourselves as you see us. Father, help us to see the rebellion that is in our hearts, even if not showing in our actions. Father, we pray that you'd help us to see the motives that we have, even for the good things that we do. The motives that we have for doing them. Father, help us to see what we owe. Not a sanitized version, but the truth. Help us to see that and help us to know it. Paul was a pretty good guy. Paul had been a Pharisee. And he knew all about all the rules, and he knew all about his scriptures, all of that. And then he happened to be going around murdering a few people who happened to be Christians and happened to be throwing them in prison. So, I mean, he had it not so good. Anyway, Paul, Saul as he was then, confronts the Lord and realizes what he's doing, and he changes, and he goes around preaching and teaching and suffering and doing all sorts of stuff. And generally, Paul, you would think, is a good egg. He's close to 10 out of 10, you think, as you could get. And if only we could be like the Apostle Paul, we'd all be happy. What does Paul say about himself? Now, this isn't what he says about the old Paul, the Saul. When he's writing, what does he say about himself? And he says, first of all, the good things that I know I should do and I want to do, blow me, I don't do them. I'm in rebellion, I don't do them. And the bad things that I know I shouldn't do, blow me, I do them. He confesses, even as the Apostle Paul, he's saying, look, I'm a sinner. I am in open rebellion against God, not because I want to be, but because there's a twisted nature inside me that I'm like that. And he comes to the conclusion, I'm the worst of all sinners. Not I was the worst, I am the worst. You see, Paul had a good grasp of what he owed. He had a good grasp of this heart that was in open rebellion against God. Now, come back to ourselves. What's our honest opinion about ourselves? How much do you owe? And this is critical. It's critical you get a grasp of this, because if you don't know what you owe, you will not appreciate the one who pays your debt. If you think you don't owe very much, you won't be very grateful to God that he paid your debt. If you don't know how far short you fall, you won't appreciate God's grace towards you and his mercy towards you. If you don't understand how much you owe, you don't get a grasp of those things. So it's vitally important that we realize where we stand before God. Without what Christ has done for us, what Jesus has done for us, we are guilty. We aren't just slightly muddy around the edges. We're filthy. And it's important we get a grasp of that. It's a bit of a solemn message to bring, I'm afraid. But it's the truth. And I can't really bring any other message. It was the message that Simon had to learn. Why do you love so little? Because you think you don't owe very much. So we need a sober assessment. And just to make things worse, you know what Jesus had to say? Looking at a room full of mostly Pharisees here, Jesus said, you know what? The prostitutes, the tax collectors, the sinners, they're going to get into heaven before you lot. Isn't that a scary thing to hear said? Because you see, those people know and understand the danger for us is we think we're basically okay. We don't need very much, but we are all desperately in need. And when we understand that need, and we see that God in his sheer goodness sent Jesus to pay for what we owed, then we know the joy of our salvation. We know what we are actually living for. So, what do you owe? Do you owe a lot or do you owe a little? Are you grateful because God has forgiven you your deep fundamental rebellion against him? Or do you think, oh, God's done me a bit of a good turn? Which is it to be? Let's pray. Father, we come to you. And first of all, we are amazed that we can come to you at all. Father, we think of this woman who sneaked in to that gathering, and she didn't speak to Jesus face to face. She just bowed down at his feet. And Father, we pray that you would help us to come to our Savior and bow down at his feet because we are not worthy. Help us to see our great need. Help us to see the great debt that we owed. And help us, Father, to rejoice in the great salvation that you have brought. The price that you have paid so that this week we can be free. And Father, we pray too that as we face a week, it wouldn't be another week where we continually fall short of your standards, but it would be indeed a week where we stop our rebellion, where we follow you, where we do what you want, and we know the joy of our salvation, that we have indeed been set free. Lord, we pray that you would go with us into the week and that we would bring honor and glory to the one who has paid the debt, our great debt. Father, we ask this, that Jesus might be glorified in our lives. Amen.